Welcome to Microsoft Build 2017. I'm Luis, and I'm an engineer at Microsoft.
Hi, I'm Sri Krishna. I'm an engineer at Microsoft as well.
So IoT is one of the important buzzwords these days, right?
Yeah, and app is a big buzzword these days too.
So one of the things that I was thinking about is that I want to build an app that actually allows users to control the IoT devices they might have.
That's a great idea because not only it enriches your application, it lets the users experience it completely because they interact with your application regular features, but then now they get to interact with the devices around them.
That's what I thought, but the problem is that I'm not familiar with IoT at all. So one of my concerns is that I might have to learn a whole lot, and I want to avoid a little bit of that.
Right, so there is some of that, but if you use IoT Studio, all of that pain goes away because IoT Studio will generate a suitable library for you for whatever device you choose.
Okay, what is IoT Studio? How can it help me?
IoT Studio is a Visual Studio extension. It can discover OCF compliant devices that are on your network, and then it can generate libraries that your app can consume directly.
I see. So IoT Studio works with OCF devices. What is OCF?
OCF is Open Connectivity Foundation. It's a consortium of hundreds of companies. All the major players in the industry are involved in it. They're creating a specification that describes how any two given connected devices can interact with each other. So IoT becomes part of this.
I see. So the app that I was thinking about making would be a mood app. So basically what I want to do is that I want the users to tell the app, hey, you know, I'm feeling happy. And if they're feeling happy, they might want the device around them to reflect that state.
That's a great idea for interaction.
Yeah. So let's say if they had light bulbs, then the light bulbs could be green or yellow if they're happy or something like that. But your thoughts, like, how would I go if I were to develop
so,
an app?
Right. Without IoT Studio, this is what you would do. You have the light bulb,
okay,
which exposes itself as a set of resources on the network. So you need to understand a little bit about the OCF specification to understand how you can talk to the light bulb. Then on the application side, you need to pick an implementation of the spec so that you don't have to write all the protocol to talk to the device.
Okay.
So this implementation would likely be IoTVT. It's a reference implementation of OCF. And on top of that, you have to learn the IoTVT API, but you also have to now compose this light bulb as an object model that your application can consume.
Okay.
So you'll end up building an abstraction library that's a fair amount of work.
Okay, that sounds a lot of work.
And it doesn't end there, because imagine if you have a need to add one more device. Maybe it's complex, like a television. Now, your abstraction library has to grow to include the new resources and the business logic to bubble them up as individual objects for your app to consume.
Basically, all the work that I did for light bulbs, now I have to do again for television, and television is a way more complex device. It's way more work.
Correct. And we are talking about discovery, we are talking about requests, responses, the parsing, so it is quite a bit of work.
And if I had IoT Studio, how would it help me?
So if you had IoT Studio, all of the work we were just talking about, that goes away, because IoT Studio will generate this library in its entirety for you. And what you are left with is an object that your app can directly access.
Okay, so how does IoT Studio generate code? How does it know which code to generate?
So IoT Studio depends on a feature called introspection. It's specified in the OCF specification. What it is a self-description schema. When you ask a device, hey, what are you? It can tell you, hey, this is what I am. These are my methods. These are my properties. These are the ways you can interact with me.
Okay.
And IoT Studio makes use of this. It also gets the metadata, like descriptions, integrates this into the library and generates a library that will work with any device that looks like the one you just picked.
I see. So it seems to me that me, as an app developer, I would have to go to the store, buy that light bulb, have it on my local network so that IoT Studio can see it and generate code for it. Is that correct?
Yes, you could do that. Or you can skip buying the light bulb, because IoT Studio is able to work with file-based introspection. So if you had the schema from the device, you can just give it to IoT Studio and it will generate the same library for you.
I see. So can we see that in action?
Yeah, let's see that in action.
Okay, so here we have a television. It's an emulated TV. It's right. OCF. And I wrote a simple application. It's a remote control application. The UI is very simple.
Right.
Basically, what we want is we can set power, mute, channel, volume. And I want that UI to be able to communicate with this television.
Right. So after you sent me this application, I spent a couple of minutes looking at it. I know how to get this working with your television.
Okay.
I'll walk you through it.
Okay.
It's going to take just a few minutes. So one thing I did is I have installed IoT Studio from a private copy. Once it is official, it will be available on Visual Studio Gallery for you to download. So there are two ways to use this. One, you can go to the New Project Wizard, and there we have templates built for blank applications in several languages.
I see.
Or in your case, you already have an application. So the easier way is to go to this menu item and add an IoT device. As you can see, the wizard automatically pulled up it discovered the television on the network. It's showing me the resources and the properties. If I don't want to interact with channel, I can skip it.
And if I didn't have the television with me?
And if you didn't have the television with me, all you would do is click this browse and you would pick the introspection file and it would be displayed exactly the same way.
Okay.
So now I'm going to click OK. And what's happening is all the work we talked about, it's being composed into a library.
I see. So right now IoT Studio is generating the library that would talk to that TV.
Right.
And it seems that it just did all of that work we just
exactly
talked about in a few seconds.
And yeah. And you'll see that it already added the reference to the project it created. And I'll just quickly give you a glimpse of what it generated. It basically picked the resources like audio, channel, and power from the television. It created objects for it, ready for us to access.
I see. That's pretty cool.
So let's go ahead and add the functionality into the project. So all I need to do is iotvt.televisiondevice. I import the library. And then in the interest of time, I made a little snippet. It's not too much code. We'll walk through it.
Okay.
So basically, in your view model initialization, I'm going to call the initialize TV, which will serve as the entry point into the library that was just created.
I see.
There are three objects that any such generated library would have. One is the television client, which is the main entry point. It represents your application to the library. So I'm going to create an object of that type, give it all the application information. Then I'm going to create a device watcher. It's an observer on the network. Its purpose is to look for all the televisions and report them whenever it finds it. And whenever it finds it, it's going to generate this added event. And if the library detects that the television is no longer reachable, it would generate a removed event. I'm going to go ahead and start the search. And then once we start getting these events, I'm taking a little shortcut here where I'll only look at the first television. But typically, you would maintain a list of the televisions you see on the network and possibly have some logic to figure out which one you want to talk to, or give the control to the user to pick one.
Okay, and if I was interested in a particular television, would it be possible to do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this is what you do. The device that we return it actually has a unique identifier that we can use to identify the exact television you are looking for.
Okay.
The next thing we do is we are going to register for updates in the resources we see. And we are going to let the library know that, hey, now start interacting with this device. What this does is the library will go fetch the resources for us and generate the resources update event. So once the resources start coming in, I'm going to check to see if all the resources that we need for our UI are ready. If they are, I'm going to call the function you gave me to notify that the device is ready.
Yeah, that function basically enables all the controls so that the app can only be used if the television is on the network.
Right. And in that same vein, retrieve device state is supposed to reflect all the properties from the TV into the UI so that the user sees the exact volume that's currently on the television.
Okay.
So what this method does is it calls these asynchronous functions to get the properties. And you'll note that the IntelliSense has been helping us all the way. Some of it is generated by us, some of it is actually constructed from the television itself that we see on the network.
I see. And you talked about volume, but it seems that it's missing from there.
Right. And it's missing for a purpose so that I can show you a second way of getting the properties. So this volume property is a local copy that's synchronized in the background from the TV. So if the resource was observable, we don't need to do anything from the application. But even if it's not, if you called get property on this resource for any property, the entire resource is fetched for you so that from then on you can interact with the local copy as long as, you know, much time hasn't passed.
I see. It's up to date because I just requested the mute.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when the user changes something in the UI, we'll want to send it to the television. So we use the similar function as get to set the volume. Set volume async is going to send it to the television. And the local copy we were talking about, if you set it, the library will send it to the television in the background. So you can do that as well.
Okay, so can we take a look at that app?
Yeah, let's run it and see if it works.
Oh. So now, okay, how does IoTivity get to my app?
So that's a great question because I was about to say that the build, when it runs a NuGet restore, and IoTivity, we composed it as a NuGet package. And the library we generated, it marks that NuGet package as the dependency. So whenever we build this project, it's going to check to see if there are any updates. And then if there are, it's going to pull down the new NuGet package. That way, if there are security fixes or bug fixes, you always have the latest version of the stack. All you need to do is rebuild your application.
I see. Okay.
So we can see that the television has been discovered in the app. It found it and it fetched all the properties for us. Let's play with it and see if it works.
Yeah, the volume works.
So let's turn it off.
Okay.
Turn it on. Let's mute it. Okay. And let's actually change the channel.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. I'll use IoT Studio for my application because it seems to, they will help me a lot.
Okay, did you find it to be easy?
Oh, yes. I mean, we only spent like 10 minutes talking about this, right?
Right, and the benefit of this is you'll really be able to focus on the user experience. Do not worry about the discovering or interacting with the device itself.
Okay.
The library does it for you.
Well, thank you for the explanation.
Thank you. We are going to publish the official version of IoT Studio on Visual Studio Extension Gallery. When it is available, please do try it out. Thank you.
Thank you.